Welcome to the Raise with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for February 9th, 2019. Today, looking at 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. 2 Samuel 11. Springtime arrived, the time when kings go out to war. David sent Joab out with his officers and with all of Israel. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed in Jerusalem. One evening, David had gotten up from his couch and was walking around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very good-looking. David went to inquire about the woman, and he was told, "Isn't this Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers to bring her. She came to him, and he lay down with her. She had been purifying herself from her ceremonial uncleanness. She then returned to her home. The woman became pregnant, so she sent a message and told David, "I am pregnant." David sent a message to Joab, "Send Uriah the Hittite to me." So Joab sent Uriah to David, and Uriah came to him. David asked how Joab and the troops were doing and how the war effort was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." When Uriah went out from the palace, the king sent a gift to him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all the servants of his master. He did not go down to his own house. David was informed, "Uriah has not gone down to his house." So David said to Uriah, "Haven't you come a long distance? Why didn't you go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are living in shelters, and my master Joab and the servants of my master are camped on the bare ground in the open countryside. Should I go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie down with my wife? By your life, as surely as you live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Stay here today also. Tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. David summoned him, and Uriah ate as his guest, and David got him drunk. But in the evening he went and slept on his mat where the servants of his master were. He did not go out to his own house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab, and he sent it in the hands of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Station Uriah opposite the fiercest fighting. Then withdraw from behind him so that he will be struck down and die." So when Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to a place where he knew that the enemy's strongest warriors were. The men of the city came out and fought against Joab, and some of the troops of David fell. Uriah the Hittite also died. Joab sent a message to inform David about all the events of the war. He instructed the messenger, "As you are finishing reporting all the events of the war to the king, if the king becomes angry and says to you, 'Why did you go so close to the city to fight? Didn't you know that they would be shooting from on top of the wall? Who killed Abimelech, son of Jerubbaal? Didn't a woman throw an upper millstone from the wall on him so that he died at Thebez? Why did you go so close to the wall?' Then you are to say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite also died.'" The messenger sent out. He came and told David everything that Joab had sent him to say. The messenger said to David, "Their men gained an advantage over us and drove us back into the open country. But then we gained the upper hand and drove them back all the way to the entrance of the city gate. The archers shot at your troops from the wall. Some of the servants of the king died, and your servant Uriah the Hittite also died." David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Do not take this too hard, because the sword devours people at random. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. Encourage Joab.'" The wife of Uriah the Hittite heard that her husband was dead, so she mourned for her husband. When her mourning was completed, David sent for her and brought her to his house, and she became his wife. She gave birth to a son for him, but what David had done was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Chapter 12. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. He came and told him this: "There were two men in a city, one was rich and one was poor. The rich man had a large number of flocks and herds. The poor man did not own anything except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought. He raised it so that it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate from his food and drank from his cup. It slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. When a traveler came to the rich man was unwilling to take an animal from his flock or from his herd to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. So he took the lamb from the poor man and prepared it for the man who had come to him. David's anger flared up against that man. He said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this is as good as dead. In place of that lamb, he will restore four lambs, because he did this and had no pity." Nathan told David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave the house of your master to you, and I gave the wives of your master into your embrace. I gave you the house of Israel and the house of Judah. If this was too little, I would have added even more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his eyes? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife as your own wife. You have killed him with the sword of the Ammonites. So now the sword will not depart from your house forever, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife." This is what the Lord says: "Look, I am raising up disaster against you from your own house. Right in front of your eyes, I will take your wives and give them to your neighbor, and he will lie down with your wives in the sight of the sun. Because you acted in secret, I will do this in front of all Israel in broad daylight." David said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Nathan said to David, "The Lord himself has put away your sin. You will not die. Nevertheless, because by this deed you have treated the Lord with utter contempt, the child that is born to you shall surely die." Then Nathan went to his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had borne for David, and the child became sick. David sought the Lord's mercy for the child. David fasted and spent the night lying on the ground. The elders of his household stood beside him to pick him up off the ground, but he was not willing, and he would not eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died. The servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, because they said, "Look, when the child was living, we spoke to David, but he would not listen to what we said. How will we speak to him now that the child is dead? He might do something harmful." When David saw that his servants were whispering together, he understood that the child was dead. So David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "Yes, he is dead." Then David got up from the ground, washed, put on lotion, and changed his clothes. He went to the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went back to his house and asked for food, so they prepared a meal for him, and he ate. His servants said to him, "What are you doing? When the child was alive, you fasted and wept, but when the child died, you got up and ate food." He said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, because I said, 'Who knows, will the Lord be gracious to me and let my child live? Now he has died, why should I fast? And am I able to return him to life again? I will go to him, but he will not return to me.'" David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. He went to her and lay down with her. She gave birth to a son. David called him Solomon. The Lord loved him, and the Lord sent a message by the hand of Nathan the prophet that he should be called Jedidiah because of the Lord. Jedidiah means loved by the Lord. This is the word of our God. Few chapters in all of Scripture drip with the extreme and saddening irony as these two chapters. In the spring of the time when kings go off to war, here is David sitting around home, and he can't sleep, and he's wandering the roof, and he sees somebody bathing. And she's bathing because her monthly cycle has ended, and she is purifying herself. It's part of her worship life that she's bathing at this particular time. And David is like, "Wow, David, you should have found something better to do. David, you should have gone back to your own bed." But here is David, who acts deceitfully and against Uriah and against Bathsheba. David abuses his power and takes advantage of this woman. And Uriah, who is a convert to Judaism, he's been converted. He's one of David's mighty men. He's consistently named Uriah the Hittite, and his wife Bathsheba, consistently named the wife of Uriah up until the very last portion of chapter 12 there. David takes advantage of her, and David stabs his friend in the back. He calls Uriah home, and Uriah is unwilling to enjoy the blessings of being home. He's like, "Well, God's people are in a tent. God's ark is in a tent. Why should I go home to my house?" David sins against him again by getting him drunk. David sins against him again by sending him away with carrying the very message that spells his doom and his death. And David thinks he gets away with it. David thinks he gets away with it. But that closing sentence of chapter 11, what David had done was evil in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord sent Nathan. And you could imagine Nathan being a little worried, but God says go, and so Nathan goes. Nathan uses this little story that he makes up to basically sneak up on the sinful flesh, sneak up on the sinful nature so that David doesn't catch on right away. And Nathan gives him just enough rope so that David himself is caught in his own words. That man deserves to die. Nathan says, you are that man. And that restoration is what God had desired all along. Obviously, God had desired that David would remain faithful to his own wife instead of taking somebody else's wife and getting the husband drunk and then murdering him with the sword of the Ammonites. That's what God really wanted. But the only thing worse than that would be if David had continued in his unbelief. David had continued in his hardness of heart, and David had persisted in this unrepentant sin. Because he falls from the faith here. Check out Psalm 32 and 38 and 51. All Psalms that David probably wrote in relation and thinking back to this event. This series of events that passes, a good month and a half. And then actually 10 months to a year. Here is David. But God doesn't even want one soul to die. God doesn't want even David to perish in hell forever in unbelief. Because God sends Nathan. And even though Nathan knows that he's risking his own neck, Nathan speaks. Because that's what Christian love does. Christian love speaks in favor of what God has said. And the story continues. If you read the following chapters, David and Bathsheba have another son after Solomon. And can you guess the name of that son? His name is Nathan. That David demonstrates his thankfulness to God by naming his son after the called minister that God had used to call David back to faith. And so as you go about your day, it's easy enough to see in David our sinful flesh, our sinful reflection, and to know that if it weren't for God's grace, there but for the grace of God go I. That perhaps, the only reason that you or I haven't fallen into and or jumped headlong into the sort of sin that David did is because we aren't king or queen of the land, and we don't have power and authority and people who listen to us the way that they listen to David. But the sinful flesh is still the same wily foe that would trick us and deceive us at every time so that our faith would be shipwrecked and our souls lost forever to hell. But thanks be to God that in his word and through his called public servants and through our fellow Christians, he calls us back to faith. So as you go about your day, just take a moment to thank God for the people he's given to you, to encourage you in this faith. And then look up and look around and find somebody else to encourage as well. God bless your day.